Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Why don't we stand and let's do a responsive reading today. I read the first verse, you read the second, I read the third, you read the fourth, I read the fifth, you read the sixth, and we stop at the sixth, okay? Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork.
Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun.
Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race.
His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the end of heaven, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
Father, we thank You for the Word, the beautiful Word we have in our hands, and we thank You for the grace to bring it to us. We thank You for our opportunity, the freedom we have in this country, and all the opportunity we have to study Your Word, to learn it, to build our faith, and live a life of joy in Jesus. We just thank You. Lord, give me a freedom and ease to speak as only You can give, and may Your Holy Spirit suit the Word to every person here.
Amen.
I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. I want you to turn now to Romans chapter 1, and I'll just start with this. I might come back to it two or three times. I might not. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Here's what Paul has to say. For the invisible things of Him, that's God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be fools, to be wise, they became fools. Isn't that something? Wow. The invisible things of the Creator are clearly seen from the creation. And they're understood by the things that are made. Now, what should all the world understand? There is a great big God out there.
Yep. Amen.
His eternal power and Godhead. Now, you talk about stupidity. It is these people who have education, are vain in their education, and they've written God off. They don't believe God is. Now, boy, that takes a lot of faith. I think it takes a lot more faith to believe there is no God than to believe there is a God. Not faith in God, but faith in your science, faith in your leaders, faith in your teachers, faith in somebody who's stupid. He said they're clearly seen. Clearly seen. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 19. David wrote this psalm. Have no idea how old he was. Nobody knows. You know, we got people writing, he wrote it after this, and he wrote it before that. And, you know, yeah, who knows? Who knows? Nobody really knows. It's been 3,000 years. Nobody wrote anything about it at the particular time that's come down to us, at least. But look at this beautiful psalm, and the one I read to you talks about the creation of the world. And it was described by one of the fellows that I read as the first Bible, and I like that. I like that. Where is the first Bible? Creation. Creation is the first Bible. I mean, God is revealing Himself. And look how He describes it. The heavens declare. They declare. The heavens declare The glory of God. Boy, does it ever. And you know, just even just up to 100 years ago, 150 years ago, just the last 100 to 150 years maybe of our existence on the face of this earth, of the 6,000 years or so we've had mankind on it, we've got telescopes. Now we've had the Hubble for 20 or 30 years. And it's sitting out there in space. And it's got such a much better picture. And I was listening to some of the guys the other day, and they said, in our Milky Way, there are 200 million galaxies. Not 200 million stars. Now they believe there are 200 million galaxies in the Milky Way, this one little stretch across the heavens. And they go out, and they go out, and every time the telescope gets bigger, all they find are more stars and deeper space. I tell you something? That's not an accident. That's not an accident. That is a creation. Creation of an awful big mind. You know, I have some CDs that we watch on the television, and one of them is about the ocean. I don't know how they get these good pictures of all these fish and up close and personal, you know. I don't know how they get them, but it's real. There are some ugly things down there. I mean, somebody said God loves beauty. No, God loves variety. He doesn't necessarily love beauty, and he wouldn't see beauty the same way you see beauty anyway. I look at two ants down on the ground there across my land, and they look alike to me. I don't see one's more beautiful than the other, but they can tell the difference. And you look down there, and all these so many different things built in so many different ways. How many different kinds of eyes are there out there? Accident? Accident? No, 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 no. That is a great God. That is a great Creator God. And every people on the face of the earth ought to be able to recognize there is a great, big, smart, powerful God out there. They wouldn't know who it is without this Bible. But they ought to know there's a God.
Amen.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In their own imagination, of their own braininess. You know, the very smartest of us aren't all that smart. And probably the very smartest of us don't use but 10% of our brain power. Now, what does that do for the dumb of us? Well, leaves us sort of sad, doesn't it? The heavens declare. Man, that's a big word. That's an expressive word. I'm declaring. I'm up here this morning, I'm declaring. And what does David say? He sits out there, that shepherd boy that had watched the nights, and he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Wow. Wow, it does. It does to me. I stay absolutely fascinated. Years ago, I've had a bunch of interest in my life. I get an interest and I get till I'm about 85% good on it. And then I go to another interest. I'm not willing to put out the tremendous effort to get that extra all the way up there, you know. I'm a pretty good B student. And that's where I want to be. Don't mind. I studied astronomy for a long time. Enjoyed myself. I really did. Now, I couldn't even tell you where the stars are besides the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, probably. But at any rate, I am fascinated in how big God is. And the Hubble telescope, instead of destroying my faith, made me see God as a whole lot bigger than I'd ever figured Him to be. He's a great big guy. Powerful? Wow. It's just tremendous. And David is saying, the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, let's see. The firmament. That's everything between the heavens and us. It's all that air up there, all that other stuff like that. Shows his handiwork. Wow. Day unto day utter a speech. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying it talks. He's saying it speaks in every language. Day unto day, that creation that God did is declaring the glory of God. Day unto day, it's uttering speech that you ought to recognize and hear. You can tell by your dog whether he's happy or he's sad. Lots of times, by the way he wiggles his tail. Lots of times, the way he wants to lick your face. Lots of times, where he just wiggles inside his skin. He's just so excited. He just almost can't stand still. We know how to learn what horses do and mules do and dogs do and fish do. Well, you take some of these fishermen, they have got it down. You go down to these, get on these boats, you guys say, oh no, right here we're going to use the red one. No, we're going to use the green one. Or we're going to drop it down to the bottom because the fish are on the bottom. Oh no, we're going to pop it along the top. You talk about fishermen. Some of them know what they're talking about. I read a bunch of their books. I've seen some of their fishing shows. Pretty interesting. If you can understand things that don't speak your language by what you see, why can't you understand some things about God by what you do see? The heavens declare the glory of God. Make God glorious. I mean, you look up at the heavens and it gets glorious. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. We're talking about declare, showeth, speech, knowledge. You got a record out there that God wants you to see. And He put you in here in day and night so that you could see it. It's not enough to get you saved, but it's enough to let you know there is a great big God out there, and evolution is the biggest hoax ever put over on mankind. Absolutely. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Look at what he's saying. Speech, language, voice, heard. What's he talking about? He's talking about creation. He's talking about creation. You take a look at creation. You look at the moon turning, and you look at the thing going all the way around the earth. You look at the earth spinning maybe 25,000 miles an hour. I don't know. We think we're, you know, just sitting still. Oh, no. We're going zip, 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 zip real, real fast. And not only that, while we're going around like this on our own axis, we're also going all around the sun. We're going around it. We got things going all the way, and they were tilted, you know? And it's all just exactly right so you could live. So you could breathe air. So you could grow food. So you could be healed by the sun. And you can be. I tell you what, you need the sun. These poor Yankees that get snowed in all winter, you know, they go bananas. Need to get out and get some sun every once in a while. He says, declare, showeth, speech, knowledge, language, voice. There is a testimony in creation. And that's beautiful. Their line is gone out through all the earth. Verse 4. Their words, look at that again. Their words to the end of the world. Creation's words have gone out, and they're going to stay there till the end of the world. That testimony is going to keep going. Where'd a shepherd boy learn stuff like this? Wow. He was a man after God's own heart. I have a great deal of respect for David. I feel for him in his sin. But my, how I respect in him being a soldier and a leader and a fighter and a great king, a poet, a musician. A lot of talent. And here he is making such great statements that they come down to us, and today they're better than anything anybody can write. Just absolutely beautiful. Their line is gone out through all the earth. their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Do you know, I'm pretty sure the sun is going to rise tomorrow. I'm pretty sure the sun is going to set today. But it's not going to run off and leave us. Tomorrow morning it's going to come on around and it's going to rise. Now the sun's really not going around us. We understand that. But you know what it is to me practically? It is rising. It is traveling. And it is setting in the practical way. Now how long has that been happening? Long as men have been on the face of the earth. Long as men have been on the face of the earth, the sun rises and runs and races across the sky and then sets. He said, it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. I don't know what kind of wedding they had, but evidently they got the bride over here in this tent and they got the bridegroom over there in that tent. And he says, hey! Boy, that guy's running. He's ready to get married. Oh, boy, all right. Were you ready to get married when you got married? Or were you sort of hesitant, saying, well, I really don't want to do this. I'm scared to death. I'm afraid of that girl. I don't know what she'll do to me in the night. She'll be able to cut my throat. No, man. Watch these young people when they get in love. They can't see anybody else. They can't even see the faults. You guys, I'm amazed anybody ever married you. You know? Actually, I question the intelligence of the women. Why they would ever want to marry any man. They don't see the warts on the end of your nose. They don't see the drip out of your nose. They don't smell your sweat with all your chili and tamales and enchiladas. And hey, a bridegroom comes out of that tent heading for that marriage. He's in. Wow! Look at her. Most beautiful woman in the world. Now, she's ugly as homemade soap. But to him, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. And he comes charging out. He said, that's like the sun. Like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Now, guys, we all have a little macho in us. Some of us more than we need. But we all have a little. You ever enjoyed running a race? I have. You ever enjoyed playing a game of tennis and just beating the socks off of somebody? Oh, that's fun. Not so much fun if you're the one getting beat up. But how about putting somebody down? I remember my dad was just a real good checker dominoes player. I don't think he ever played the game of chess. I don't really even know anything about it. But he was a checker player. And I was a grown man. Married with several kids before I ever beat him. And oh, I'd studied up, and I actually beat him. You know what my mother said? Well, if he was younger, you wouldn't have. She didn't like me beating him. And I didn't beat him all that often. But how about rejoicing as a strong man to run a race? Do you get that picture of the heavens we have out here? Wow, you see these stars moving and the explosion, the heat, the light coming, the world turning, everything goes along. And they've got to calling it the laws of nature. It's the laws of God. It's the law of God. God set the bounds. And God made the rules. And God has kept it going. There's a verse in Psalm 119. I attribute it to David too, but probably it has quite a few or different writers. I'm not sure. But there's one in Psalm 119. It says, talking about the faithfulness of God. And how do we know the faithfulness of God? The earth has continued until now. The earth you're living on, it's the same earth. Go back. It's continued. It's up to now. What's going to happen? It's going to be burned with fire, destroyed, and God's going to build a new one, a new heavens and a new earth. But how do you know that God is faithful? The earth's still here. The sun still comes up. You still have food to eat. You still have water to drink. You're still walking around breathing air. You're still fellowshipping. You're still getting married and producing children. You're still building houses. You're still working. You're still going. And for somebody like me, I had a resurrection just like a few weeks ago. Boy, I was like dead. I know some of you thought I was almost dead. You were planning my funeral, I understand. I tell you what, I was too. Which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run his race, or run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. How about that? You couldn't live without the sun. You couldn't live without the sun. And it's got to be just exactly right as it is. Can you imagine the engineering, the planning, the science, the knowledge to have all of this work like it works? Accident? That's like saying that the Bible or the Encyclopedia Britannica came out of an explosion in a print factory. Never. 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 It took intelligent men to plan and to divide and to define and to write down and to pare down and to... There's a tremendous amount of work. You see the man's work. You see what's been done. You ought to appreciate that. Well, when you take a look at creation, what does it do for you? Man, it ought to put you in awe. Amen. It ought to put you in awe. It ought to make you want to find who this God is. All around the world. The heathen, the ignorant, the intelligent. Everybody that looks out at the heavens. Now, again, we are so acquainted with air conditioning and heating and fine houses and television for entertainment and lights so we can spend our time inside reading. People, for just almost the whole time of mankind being on the earth, sat out on the porch at night. They saw the stars. They taught their children, that's Orion, that's the Big Dipper, that's the North Star. In fact, they had stories made up by these different constellations. You got all these constellations up there. You study that, and they'll tell you a story. This is the tiger, this is the bear, this is the snake, this is whatever. They understood it. Now, maybe we're a little bit behind in that simply because of our great rich culture. And we are the greatest entertained people, the greatest entertainment that's ever been known to mankind. Nobody, nobody in any history past ever had anything to compare. I think about my old car. It's a 2005, so it's, 7 years old now? It's going to be 8. Solomon would have given 1,000 horses for that car. Wow. Think of the things that we have, all of the things we do. What about all the women with all the things you've got in your kitchens? What would they have done with those hundreds of years ago? What about electricity? Just plug it in. I love electricity. Man, electricity grid, just plug it in. And that power comes out. You can do anything you want to. Well, wait a minute. They didn't have anything like that. And they could look out there and they could tell there is a great, big, powerful God. So, I would say the first six verses declare the glory of God as God's creation Bible. Now then, when we begin at verse 7, go down through verse 11, we're going to talk about this Bible. Right here. The Word of God. Written Word of God in your language. Look at verse 7. Now notice the terminology that David uses. The law of the Lord is perfect. I guess you got to take that by faith. Don't you? Can you prove it's perfect? What are you going to prove it by? You take it by faith. I take it by faith that God is right. I made that decision at least 55 years ago. God is right.
Amen.
If I differ with Him, I'm wrong. God is right. So I studied the Bible to find out what God says. Now, no one would find Jesus Christ by creation. They could know there is a mighty God, a great and glorious God. But when you come to study this Bible, if you believe what is written in this Bible, you know you're going to come to a conclusion. Jesus Christ is the Creator. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is Lord of all, whether they recognize Him as Lord or not.
Amen.
It's perfect. You don't need a lot of other things. If you get a good knowledge of the Word of God, then you are set up. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? Converting the soul. My soul got converted. From the Bible. The preaching of the Bible. The reading of the Bible. A man coming into my house and answering my questions from the Bible. Him besting me. Now, I love to argue all of my life. My daddy and I, we would upset Verlene and my mother, but my daddy and I, we'd just argue back and forth and try to prove each other wrong, you know, and we'd get real strong. My daddy loved it. He loved beating me, too. And if I ever beat him, oh, I enjoyed that. I tell you, it's true. You know, you go around and fighting these things, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I became convinced I was a sinner. I came being convinced there was a hell. I became convinced I was headed for it, that if I died right then, I was going to drop right off into hell. I didn't have any... I'd sort of in my life waited out and thought, I'm not as bad as the bad people. I'm not as good as the good people. But I'm somewhere in that, and let's hope I'm 51%. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. One little white sin will send you to hell. And with all the sins you got,
amen.
Oh, you sweet little ladies, that sweet little grandma, oh, you just love her to death. She's a sinner.
Amen.
That little baby is an angel. Oh, what a little angel. You got to be kidding. He's a little devil. He's going to demand your time and attention. Going to spit on you and wet on you. Going to keep you up nights. But what about the law? The law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. Praise God. Man, that's good stuff. How about the testimony of the Lord? Talking about the Bible again. What have we got here? This is the testimony of God. Written for us that we can actually read it in our own language. Wow. Have you been blessed? You know, there are a whole lot of people in the world right now don't have that. By the millions. Don't have it. There are a lot of people in the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. They might have heard Coca-Cola, Singer sewing machine, but they don't know anything about Jesus. It says, the testimony of the Lord is wise. I made up my mind that if I knew what the Bible said, it would make me wise. If I would follow what the Bible said, I would know how to raise my kids. I'd know how to build a family. I would know how to build a church. I would know how to win souls. I would know a lot of things. I would be wiser than the professors. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I may be simple. I may be a hick. You can listen to my voice and you will not think I have a master's degree in English and taught it for 20 years. No, you would not think that. You think that's some country bumpkin that just got off of the watermelon truck. My voice, I can't change it. But I'm well educated. And my wife and I have spent so much money in used bookstores. You would not imagine all the books that we have. Every room's full of books. My attic is full of books. I've given away so many books, and I still got way too many. And I think about taking them down and selling a bunch of them or getting rid of them and dumping them. I think, no, let the kids do it. The statutes of the Lord, now watch that. That's this book again, right? Written. The statutes of the Lord are right. Hey, study this book, you'll know what right is. You'll understand the right. I like to be right, don't you? Oh, I don't like to be wrong. I will argue. I hardly give up. Del West and I we'd meet. I'd be coming out of Guatemala and I'd drop by the little ranch there in Saltillo and supposed to sleep. But Dale and I are yelling at each other at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Somebody comes in, are y'all fighting? No, we're having a great time. Because he would not give up either. And I'd have to try to prove him wrong. He'd try to prove me wrong. On any verse, whatever. Hey, you learn something that way, you know? You actually learn. Iron sharpeneth iron. And you sharpen your brother. The statutes of the Lord are right. What do? Rejoicing the heart. Isn't that true? What joy do you get out of this book? David is writing and he didn't have what you have. He didn't have this completed version. He didn't have this knowledge that we have. And yet a man filled with the Spirit of God looks up at the heavens and says, that declares God. And then he looks down at what he had, the books of Moses and maybe a few historical books and maybe Job. Maybe a psalm or two. Moses wrote one. And he says, the statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. Wow. The commandment. Well, isn't that here? The commandment. Talking about the book. Talking about the law. Talking about the word. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Isn't it beautiful to see? It is so beautiful just to see. I remember reading through this scripture when I first read it. Not particularly this chapter. I'm not talking about just the Bible. And I'd look at some things and they didn't clear up for me. I thought, oh, what is he talking about? It's like this one guy started reading the Bible. And someone said, what do you think about it? He said, well, it's unbelievable. He said, well, why is it unbelievable? He said, well, Noah built this ark. And he rode it through the flood. And then we find the Israelites carrying that ark all through the desert. And he said, I can't believe that. The Bible's not true. If you understand it. But when all of a sudden you read it and it comes to you, your eyes lighten up.
Amen.
It rejoices your heart. It enlightens your eyes. You say, I've got it. I know what that means now. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot in this book I still don't know what it means. I would not attempt to try to teach Ezekiel. Certain passages in Isaiah, certain passages in Jeremiah, maybe a chapter or two in Ezekiel, but the whole book, some of those minor prophets, you read them. Maybe you can get something out of them. Maybe you're smarter than me. Maybe there'll be some enlightening on you. No, do you know where I preach? Most of the time I preach in the New Testament. I do understand the New Testament. Hey, I understand Daniel in the book of Revelation. There's some prophecies. But boy, you take some masters. You know, I was an evangelist, and I was traveling, and I went down to preach in a church in Baytown. And when I got there, I stayed in the house with the pastor. And after we ate lunch one day, his wife says, "Well, take him out into the garage." So he did. His whole garage was filled with the tabernacle of the Old Testament. There was room, maybe 4 feet around the whole garage. And right in the middle is the tabernacle where he had built everything there according to the scale of the Bible. You want to know something? That guy knew something about the tabernacle. Now, I was impressed. I don't know if that was the best use of his time in my attitude of how a preacher should be. But in his interest, he had the right colors on the covering, those animal covers. He had the right tent stakes. He had it all. He had everything put in position. It was something to see. I don't know how long he worked on it. He worked a long time on that. It was an amazing thing. Some people get enlightened, and all of a sudden, I had a fellow when I first started here that taught with me, Brother Taylor. He loved the tabernacle. If I'd let him, he would preach on the tabernacle every week. Come on, come on, it's enough of the tabernacle, you know. But he would, and he would tell you the red meant this, and the badger skin meant this, and boy, he'd go down through all of that stuff. I have no interest. My tabernacle is Jesus Christ. Hey, here's my temple. Here's my tabernacle. Here's my sacrifice. Here's my thing. It's Jesus. So it's just, we're out to go. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You know what? It's a good thing to fear God. You know what's the matter with this world? They don't fear God. These young people all just living together. It's all right. We can do as we please. Everybody's doing it. My kids, that didn't work at my house. I'd say, I am somebody, and I'm not doing it. So that statement you just made is wrong. Everybody's not doing it. I'm not doing it. Your mother's not doing it. And by the way, you're not going to be doing it. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. I'm going to stand in awe and fear, maybe even trembling, before that mighty God when I meet Him. I'm not going to walk up and say, "Hey, buddy, how's it been going?" I can't see it. God isn't my co-pilot, by the way. I'm sort of riding along in His plane. The fear of the Lord is clean. That's not bad. Somebody says, "You fear God." I don't fear anybody. You seen these things, posters or something, that they put on the back of these car windows? No fear. Stay out of His way. If He has no fear, He's going to run into a brick wall, or He's going to jump into a tiger's pit to be one with a tiger. No fear. Hey, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord. Are we talking about the Word of God again? This Bible is full of His judgments. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. You don't believe that half the time. I don't know how many people have given up a good church to go to a bad church to get a better job. How many people will take a job that keeps them from the services of the Lord for money? Gold. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Wow. Wow. Every time I read this book, I'm warned. Every time I read the Ten Commandments, I'm warned. When I read about some guy being dropped off into hell, I'm warned. When I read about somebody taking his talent and putting it in the earth and not using it, I'm warned. When I read about somebody deserting Paul while he's in prison, I'm warned. Reading of this book is a warning all the time, and people don't like to be warned. Your kids, when you walk out the house, say, don't do this, don't do this, and be careful. They don't like that. I'm grown. You don't need to tell me that. I take care of myself all the time. Hey, I'm warned all the time. Reading this book, what did it do? It warns you. It warns you. It warns you about how to live. It warns you about how to go to work. It warns you about how you think. It warns you about what you do. Now then, that's the second book, the written book. Creation's book, the written book. Look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Wow. I mean, there's just great truth here. Truth in the human soul. Truth that psychologists and psychiatrists are still working on. Who can understand his errors? Have you ever done something and then looked back and said, how could I be so stupid? You look at me, what was I thinking? You hurt the one you love over nothing. Over nothing. I read about a couple getting divorced, and they were fighting over a set of canisters. You know, these little things that you set your glass on. They were a set of canisters that were given to them free. But in the lawsuit, they're fighting over him. And this lawyer made the statement. He said, you know, if they had just given them away, they could have taken the money they spent on lawyers and bought several hundred much more expensive canisters. Isn't that the truth? That is the truth. You know something? This Bible is a blessed thing, and it helps us to understand some of our errors. But I am amazed at myself. I am amazed at the sinfulness, the selfishness, the self-centeredness of I, me, my. And I think we're all that way.
Amen.
I think we're all that way. Who can understand his errors? And then he reaches up and prays to God and said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. All of us got some secret things. You don't know the person sitting next to you or the person in the row in front and back. You really don't know what's going on in their heart, in their mind. What sins they struggle with. What temptations are too strong for them. David says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. He said, oh Lord, don't let me get into such a mind that I will go out and do something just boldly, presuming I can get away with it. Wow. Bathsheba and Uriah would be presumptuous sins as far as I'm concerned. And David, though he'd prayed that, I don't believe he made it. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now look at his prayer. You want to learn how to pray? Get a hold of the Psalms and find you a verse. Look at this verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now you notice how this psalm starts the first six verses with creation, the grand creation out there. Then how the next verses are the Word of God, the revealed, written message that God has sent to us. And then the last sentence, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How personal. He goes from way out there in the universe down to the Word of God, the revealed Word of God, to a person's heart saying, my Lord and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth... Oh, I tell you what, our words have caused so much harm to so many people, and especially those close to us. Sometimes you married couples that are having a fight over various things. If I'd have asked you in a week what were you fighting over, you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't remember. It wasn't that important. But it caused you a fight and caused hurt feelings and caused a whole lot of trouble. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Let my words be worthwhile. How about the meditation of my heart? What do you meditate on? Do you ever meditate on the Word of God? I know you meditate about golf, or you meditate about fishing, or you meditate about hunting, or you meditate about your reading, or you meditate about your free time, or you meditate about your television show, or you meditate on the coaches that just blew the game. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. You know, that's pretty good words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Who am I talking to? Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Lord bless you.